All right, we're in BPOS, Microsoft Online World, again for our series. This is probably number 5. How are you doing? What's your story? Who are you, man?
My name is Stephen Clardy, and I run the risk management team for Microsoft Online Services.
Okay.
And in normal speak, that's a security team, a privacy team, business continuity, and the regulatory compliance teams.
Ooh. Okay. So, I mean... describe your job. I mean, what exactly do you do? What does that mean when you just start?
Well, so we're going to be the ones that are responsible for making sure that the services themselves are safe, that the services, if they run into any kind of technical problem or person problem, are recoverable, that the data in these services is safe, that the customer's privacy is upheld, that the data maintains its integrity. That both means it doesn't get corrupted, and it also means that it's available when a customer wants it. Mm-hmm. One of the unique things about Microsoft Online Services as opposed to Microsoft's enterprise products is that not only do we write the software, but we actually run the software as a service, and we're co-custodians of a customer's data. Mm. And that's new territory for us. So that's what I do, is I make sure that as a company and as a business, we understand what the customer's expectations are, we understand what our obligations are legally, and that we use the right technology and processes to safeguard both our services as well as the customer's information.
Excellent. And, of course, you have a rich history in the space. Tell us a little bit about your past at Microsoft, how long you've been here, what you do.
Yeah, for roughly 15 years I've been at Microsoft, and about 11 of those as a full-time employee. I started out in MSN in the olden days on the development side, and I switched over to the operations side around 2001. Mm. And I ran most of the teams within Microsoft Online Services, or within MSN at the time. MSN now is Live. And then I switched to focus primarily on Passport, which is now Windows Live ID.
Okay.
So I was there when Passport was unruly, when Passport was costly, and when Passport went through a review by the government that resulted in an FTC consent order being placed on us.
Okay.
Tough, trying times, but also great times and great opportunity for us. I like to say that while that happened and it wasn't a particularly fortunate event for us, it's important to realize we signed a consent decree without actually having any kind of security or privacy issue. That issue was our ability to tell our story crisply. And as a requirement of this consent decree, we had to basically formalize our security program, build out a dedicated security function, build out a policy, and then be subjected to audit every 2 years for a 20-year period. We took that, we applied it to Passport, we made it through the audit, and then we just generalized that capability and that concept, spread it out broader and broader across consumer services, spread it across our enterprise services as they began coming online, and we used this sort of head start as a way of figuring out how to deal with the complexity of regulations, of audits, of government inquiry, of customer inquiry. And so I've taken what I learned back then, brought it to these business services, and applied it here. And we're starting to see the fruits of that labor. We achieved ISO certification earlier in this year. We've maintained the CES 70 report. So we have these external validations of our internal posture and capabilities around security, privacy, continuity. Mm. We're also leveraging that in the future. You know, we're expanding at a tremendous pace right now, and that really translates in my world to more regulations, more scrutiny, more customer concerns, more customer inquiries. As we get into specific customer sets, specific geographies, along with it comes certain predefined expectations, laws, regulations, standards to adhere to. And the processes that we put in place to get generic ISO certifications are what allows us to accelerate in getting in alignment and meeting compliance in a whole number of other places. Mm-hmm. For instance, we'll go after what's called HIPAA. It's around health information, private consumer health information. And there's laws around that. We'll go after a law called FERPA, which is about notification of students in educational institutions. And we'll be able to get alignment with those requirements in weeks, not months, not years. Mm. We'll also go after FISMA, which is a U.S. law around federal information systems. And leveraging what we put in place for ISO, we're able to build a an entire program to align ourselves with the NIST standard and with FISMA by extension, and we're able to do that in a few months rather than a few years. It's all about leveraging what we've already put in place sort of at a foundational level.
So now in terms of specification and policies, how does that relate to implementation of software and, and your systems?
Two ways. One, they may mandate certain technologies be in place. Most of them aren't that prescriptive, but what they do ask for is that you do a risk assessment or risk evaluation of your particular environment, your particular systems, then you come up with the right technology or the right processes in order to address risks that you've identified. So most of these have a forcing function in that they bring the need to implement something. A lot of times, and traditionally, that something's been implemented in the infrastructure itself, scanning capabilities, network devices. But as we become more and more mature here and get the base products sort of taken care of, we can start augmenting them with security features, privacy features, embedded and native in the product itself. Our philosophy here is that we try to enable the customer to have control over their own data, ownership over their own data. So we put privacy-enabling capabilities into the products themselves. Customers are their own administrators. Customers keep track of who's going where. Customers can allow or deny people access at different levels of granularity. It's only in a rare case that a Microsoft employee has to go on behalf of a customer to the data and do some sort of retrieval.
Interesting. Well, that's as customers should be happy about that.
Yeah, generally they're very happy about that.
Good. Well, let's speak about some of the challenges. I mean, it sounds great. Obviously, a lot of time and effort is spent on ensuring that we protect the family jewels of our customers.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the challenges you're dealing with right now?
Scale. One challenge is just keeping up with customers. That's both in providing customers with the information they're looking for regarding our security capabilities, our privacy posture. But it's also in just keeping up with the magnitude of requirements that come. Our ma-and-pa customer is going to expect security, expect privacy, and have some questions about that. We've got that pretty well under control in terms of a maturity model and in our approach to securing the environment. Our more demanding enterprise customers, public sector customers, government agencies, they have a much more demanding set of requirements and expectations, and they have audit inevitably associated with that. And so just keeping up with the alignment and then the overhead of maintaining these kind of compliance capabilities is a big deal. Where I came from prior to this in GFS, we had an environment that was heavily audited.
Global Foundation
Services, providing infrastructure for all the online services in Microsoft.
Right on.
And because of that, a lot of different services running on that environment, a lot of different requirements that come with those services. And we built a program in order to be able to scale and keep up with that. Over here, same magnitude in terms of volume, but a lot more compressed in terms of the frequency or the... You know, we're going after customers and successfully landing customers at a very, very rapid pace.
Mm.
And so where in the past we had a little bit of luxury of figuring out how to optimize over time and having a staggered pace, we're doing a lot of things concurrently. The reason we're able to actually do that successfully, though, is what we've learned over the last 6 or 7 years in doing this in the online services space.
Excellent. Now, I mean, I would say leap of faith is the right terminology, but when I want to go from my moat-protected castle to some castle in the clouds, what are some of the biggest concerns that I'm going to have sort of when I go from this, as we say, on-premises to this distributed cloud run by Microsoft in cooperation with you?
Right.
What are some of the biggest considerations, particularly around security and privacy?
Customers care where is their data going. I mean, the cloud can't be a giant black blob in the sky. They need to have some idea that it's a place. Mm-hmm. They need to know what capabilities we have to protect their data, what capabilities we're putting in place to secure the services and their data.
Mm-hmm.
That's generally a sticky subject. The reason being, most customers come with a preconceived notion of what they expect to see, and it's very rooted in certain types of technologies and certain types of capabilities. Not saying that we don't possess those capabilities and those processes, but what I'm saying is our approach is different in that we have a risk-based approach. We take into consideration our own experience in running these services. We take into consideration our own customers' experience in running these products that we're offering as services themselves. We watch the industry itself, and we end up building best-of-breed capabilities. A customer that comes in here with a laundry list of things that they're expecting to see might walk away unhappy because we don't have all the things in the checklist. A customer, however, that recognizes what we're offering is a cloud service, and it's a standardized cloud service designed for enterprise, small, medium businesses, and takes a risk-based approach. What are my risks? What are my concerns? How are they being addressed by Microsoft? That customer is going to be a lot more comfortable, both because it's a different way of approaching. I don't have a preconceived notion of what I'm going to see, and also because it matches our own philosophy and our own way of doing things here. Our customers, historically, are one of the best sources of our own appreciation of what's expected, what risks are out there that we should be concerned with. If 20 customers come to us with the same problem or the same concern, we will address it. We will not necessarily address it in the way that 10 of those customers expected, but we'll address the problem itself. And so it's a slightly different way of seeing the world or approaching the world. That's one of the things I'd say to a customer thinking about cloud or thinking about Microsoft Online in particular. I would say make sure you understand what you're buying. We're not an outsourced custom shop. We're a standard.
So explain that. I mean, it's important for people to understand the distinction. When you say outsource versus sort of, essentially what I'm hearing is we're a general purpose service providing infrastructure, meaning like Windows in some sense, which is a general purpose platform.
Right.
The difference is it's not wide open for any customer to go ahead and design their own compliance policies and just dump it to us and say, deal with it.
Right.
We're generalized and definitely explain what you're saying.
I would say general purpose, but the caveat being we have some of the most demanding enterprises as customers right now.
I imagine.
And so general purpose represents this pretty high bar established by our customers that all of the small and medium customers inherit by default. So I would say it is general purpose in the general sense of that term, but it is a pretty specialized, pretty mature environment that we're offering the customers.
Excellent. So, you know, how do we provide security and privacy for customer data? What do we do?
Well, so it's going to sound typical, but we start with policy. Mm-hmm. What are our concerns? What are our requirements? Who are they applicable to? And we distribute that through training, we distribute that through monitoring, we distribute that through a compliance management program. We do employ technologies to detect intrusions on the network, anomalies in the network traffic and behaviors, hardening of the OS, antivirus, all the things that you'd expect. We also employ secure development lifecycle. Microsoft's built this thing as a component of the Trustworthy Services Initiative introduced by Gates years ago. That is alive and well. It includes security best practices as well as privacy best practices. It's mandatory as applied against all of our service software, any software, any product built in the company. And so we take advantage of that sort of built-in native capability. Mm-hmm. We've augmented that. We're running services. We're not just developing code. So we've augmented that with an equivalent in the operational space. Best practices around change control, incident response, communication, data handling, you know, all these kind of capabilities. And so in mass, you know, you'll hear terms like defense in depth or multi-layered.
Yep.
We have this set of capabilities that are complementary to one another. There is a slight amount of redundancy in these, and that if one fails or one is deficient or configured wrong, we have something to pick up that slack. We start at the infrastructure, at the physical facility where we run the data, run the services out of, and move up the network, move to the infrastructure, into the platform or the applications themselves, up to the app, the OS. And so we have multiple layers, a threat model that looks at all of these things in combination as well as discrete characters, and then we've added this special sauce, if you will. Mm-hmm. Online services is all about distributed computing. You need to understand who you're connecting to on the other side. Your threat surface essentially expands because You're not going it alone any longer. You're not a self-contained unit. You actually have dependencies on authentication systems and storage systems and distribution mechanisms. So you end up building a dependency matrix and understanding who you're connecting to and getting a semblance of the level of integrity of that system as well. Mm. That's a big change from the sort of traditional way of doing software, even this traditional way of doing on-premise full data center deployments. Cloud is introducing some unknowns. They bring efficiencies, they bring great capability, they bring great flexibility, but with them, there's additional threat introduced, so you have to incorporate that into your model as well.
Absolutely, and what about sort of training customers?
Training customers?
So, I mean, do you know, a lot of these customers are really going to want to understand what's going on and what is the difference. So, sort of goes back to the other question about when customers are evaluating whether or not to go to the cloud versus on-premise. Obviously, there's the trust component, but what do we do to sort of train them? This is how the system works. You know, that's what I mean.
We have so we don't offer one-on-one training sessions with our customers, but what we do have is a set of documentation describing overall approach, specific areas of interest. We know without a doubt what the particular hot buttons are with most of our customers, and we can address those. I will say we used to sit down with customer after customer and walk them through this. Mm. That was a great experience in terms of getting the customer's insight. It was a great experience in understanding what those hot topics were. Over time, we documented the responses, and over time, we pushed those responses out so that they could be consumed by the customer prior to even sales engagements. Mm. That was when we were smaller. That's when we were able to scale and keep up with the customer volume, and as we've become more and more successful, we've had to move that farther and farther out. Augmenting our own material and documentation is just the material produced by Microsoft itself. We have strategy papers on our cloud security and how we're going about that. We have position papers for our customers about how they should think about using cloud services and maybe the ramifications and the approach to dealing with their own compliance obligations. Mm. Something to keep in mind, we, by offering services, are subjected to certain regulations and requirements ourselves. Offering services to customers in healthcare and finance and public sector, that brings additional compliance obligations. Mm-hmm. In most cases, we cannot singly or by ourselves meet the compliance obligations of these customers. What we can offer is our part of the stack, our part of the control set, our part of the processes. Provide the information that the customer needs to combine with their own set of material and let the customer represent their compliance. And so we build programs that allow customers to be able to claim HIPAA compliance, for instance, mm-hmm. meet FERPA requirements, for instance. FISMA is the same way. We can build a system and operate a system in accordance with the expectations are, but the customer is the one that does the final accreditation, the final kick the tires and make sure everything's all right.
Sure. And of course, the customers are also involved in ensuring that what they're doing is compliant with mm-hmm. A number of laws.
Correct.
So we may not be looking at their data. I mean, again, let's be honest. I mean, at the end of the day, sometimes people are afraid to relinquish complete control over that which is most important to them,
mm-hmm.
depending upon what
Absolutely.
The data is. I can think of some government agencies where that's clearly the case.
Right.
And so we work together to kind of ensure that, like you just said, at the end of the day, they have signed off on it, we understand what they want from us, and we say, this is what we're actually going to give you. Is it, are we community business?
Mm-hmm.
Right on. And then they can actually access, understand, audit, do the things that they are required by them by certain laws.
Correct.
So I think that's actually interesting, and it must be challenging.
It's challenging because it's such a new world. No one's figured this out quite yet. How do you distribute things that you traditionally owned? There's a feeling that you need to retain that ownership. Quite understandably, there's that feeling. Should I trust you? Do I know who you are? Can you help me understand what your capabilities are? Our strategy has been transparency of our approach through documentation. We will provide our security policy. We will provide information about these critical areas, but what we want to do in order to scale and what we want to do in order to satisfy the customer's need for validation that we're doing all these things that we say is we offer third-party attestations, independent third parties that come in and review the integrity and the approach of our program, the quality and the coverage of our policy, and then the implementation and the operation of that. And so you get a validation in the form of an ISO certificate, ISO 27001, a SAS 70 report, for instance.
Great.
We would give to the general customer, or a lot of customers who have specific needs, even, the ISO certificate representing the breadth of our program, the full coverage of our capabilities, and then the SAS report to dive into certain key areas, certain topics, access control, change control, incident response, the things that customers really care about. And they can rely on these independent third parties to come in and check our math for us. And we're not subjected to audit after audit. The customer's not subjected to the cost of coming in and auditing us. And it's working out really, really well. Now we're going to get to customer sets that demand specific audits by specific folks. Mm-hmm. And we will sign up for those and deliver on those as well.
How do you ease people into jumping from that which they understand to that which they don't? And I don't think most people really understand the cloud, right? As Amitabh said in a great interview we did on C9, he's the VP of Azure. Cloud computing is so early on, it's essentially the first 5 minutes of the first quarter of the cloud game.
Right.
And so everybody's sort of, you know, questioning, like, what does it mean?
That's right.
And so especially in this case, when you're an enterprise, for example, and you have a lot of data, or you're a public, for example, the military. I don't know if you guys work with the military, but you get my point.
Yeah.
There's some serious sensitivity there.
Yeah.
How do you ease them through?
Well, so the simple, I'll just punt our bunt on this. The simple one is we offer trial. So do a small trial, small subset of your user base, a user base that you're not concerned about the nature of the data, and get a feel for actually using the service. The real answer is do your research, read our material, study us compared to our competitors and other people offering services out there on the internet. Look at our customers that we've landed, financial institutions, health institutions, insurance agencies. Look at the customers that will land in the future, customers in the public sector, government agencies. We announced pursuit of FSMA accreditation. Happy to say we've passed all of the tests so far. We're waiting to land a customer and go through the formal accreditation.
Excellent.
Look at the track record of the people out there and the competitors that are out there right now. And look at our track record well beyond the 5 years ago when we first started offering services. We're offering our enterprise software in our data centers running as services now. The same software that you know and love if you're an enterprise right now, the same level of security with an overlay of all the operational security and operational controls that you'd want in your own environment, may or may not have in your own environment, and that's what we're offering. So do the research, study up on who's playing in the game, I would say, and we're definitely a very appealing solution out there right now.
Absolutely. I mean, we make the software we're providing.
Yeah.
Right? We're not just...
And we've made it for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Now, we're not repurposing a consumer environment and now offering enterprise and businesses to the software. We're using the software built for enterprise and then making it into an online service version.
Excellent. And we talked with Dave Thompson, sort of the VP of engineering of all of this. And people who are watching this should actually go back and watch it on C9. We talk a little bit about, you know, what it means to essentially turn a traditional software into a service. There are some subtle differences. It's not just throw it in the cloud and
it
works.
Yeah, it's not just install it.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting technical challenge that you guys have been working on and fixing.
Yeah.
Your world is the world of privacy and security.
Yeah.
So if I want to take the leap to MS Online, I can be sure that the data that's important to me, because business is all about data, is going to be protected, safe, available, and when I want to make some changes, it's not like it's a black box that I want to change something. What do I do, right? I have control to that level, I would imagine. And the other positive thing that I'm learning from all of this is that when there's a security patch, when there's a new version of the of essentially either the OS that services are running on or the service, it's all transparent to me.
You don't have to do that anymore. No
awesome.
Patch Tuesdays. That's right.
That is really cool.
That's right.
And so that means that the uptime is going to be great because you guys will be really smart with how you partition
Correct.
Things. So you, you know, you upgrade certain nodes.
Yep.
You know, so in other words, right on.
Transparent. We maintain a level of capacity that others might not be able to, not cost effective, but we maintain that and we can upgrade out from under you and you will not be aware of it, although we would tell you we're doing it.
Excellent. And so you made an announcement today around, as we wind down here, you know, the federal, you know, I had said military, I don't know if it was military or not, but you, working with federal agencies.
Yeah, U.S. federal.
And so you mentioned that you passed the FISMA or are going to pass the FISMA. Is that related?
Yeah.
Okay.
FERPA. The announcement is about a purpose-built dedicated environment for U.S. federal and public sector entities. FISMA will apply across all the environments that we currently offer. This one specializes, and along with it comes its own special flavor of additional requirements.
Sure.
Depending on the agency. ITAR, for instance, ITAR in the public sector is a law around export of munitions. It's an arms
Sure.
regulation. Arms is now a concept that expands into cyberspace and encryption technology, specs on certain types of weapons, specs on types of information. That all falls underneath that. So ITAR is a standard that we will comply with.
Excellent. So in some sense, it's a validation, right? I mean, they're willing, they took the leap.
Right.
You've just been talking about, and it's not like you haven't been working with them and trying to understand and fine-tune, and they understand what they get, you understand what you know, what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually, you know, I think that, you know, congratulations.
Yeah,
because
it's
I think
great.
It's pretty impressive.
It's great. To work with these entities, these agencies, and help translate this paradigm of the cloud into something that works for both sides. Take what's known and loved, the traditional IT infrastructure, and then abstract it into cloud and work with have both sides work together to figure out how to meet in the middle and how to address the fundamental concerns and the actual intent of laws and regulations versus a strict application of them even when they don't apply. That's been, and it'll continue to be a great dialogue that we have
Excellent.
With our customers.
Well, hey, it's great to meet you and talk to you, Stephen.
Nice to meet you and talking with you.
Right on. So good luck.
Thanks very much.
You have a. This is exciting.
Yep, I agree. Thanks a lot.
Onto the cloud, people.
Into the cloud.
Into the cloud. Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.